Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's program, having an attorney represent your small business is becoming cost prohibitive. So today, we're going to be exploring the practice of concierge law, featuring from the Welch Law, Edward Welch. But first, I'd like to welcome our legal panel, Gary Singer. What can I say about you? The court's already happened.
Well, they've said a lot, Phil.
So I know they
probably
have.
Nothing.
Good afternoon, Gary. And joining the legal panel for today's program is attorney from the law firm of Kelly Ustall, Michael Hirsch. Good afternoon.
Happy to be here.
I also want to welcome our listeners on 96.9, 103.9, 740 AM. Get this, Gary, along with iHeart nationally, TuneIn nationally, and iRadio Now. Good afternoon to those listeners.
Hi.
I also want to remind our listeners that you can actually watch the production live Thursdays at 5:30 p.m. It seems to be growing.
Ish.
All you need to do is Google Facebook Legal News and Review, and you could watch even past shows. You'll see we are recording live at the Kelly Ustall building in their mock courtroom. How
now,
cool
Phil,
is that?
I know you were trying to get us on demand on Playboy at night. Anything you like with that? Or nothing.
Well, get this, Gary. Kelly Ustall Law Firm is committed to helping you seek justice. And even their website says just go to justiceforall.com. It's that simple. Justiceforall.com. Attorneys from all over the country refer cases to Kelly Ustall because of their resources, but more importantly, their successes. Then your fight becomes their fight. If you've been severely injured because of negligence of someone else, you may actually be eligible for some compensation. Just go to justiceforall.com. You know, I want to welcome our new friend here. Good afternoon, Eddie.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here.
Eddie Welch, you're known as a litigator.
Yeah, I started my career as a litigator, trial lawyer, spent 15 years doing that, and kept running into the same problems that facing my clients. Why didn't you hire a lawyer beforehand? Why are we here?
Right.
Why didn't you have someone look at this contract before you executed it? And that's really where I came up for the idea of concierge law. You know, let's prevent all of the problems. They were telling me that they weren't getting an attorney because it was cost prohibitive. And I said, let's eliminate that problem from the equation.
And I want to be clear, this is not to handle any type of litigation, correct? This is more contracts and issues of legalities.
Correct. Litigation is not included in any type of service that I provide. I prefer to send that out, and I think the hourly billing model creates a conflict with your attorney because there's a perception that the lawyer is just attempting to bill you and to drag the case out. And by having an in-house attorney, a concierge lawyer on staff with you, you're able to have someone reviewing those bills to really be proactive in making sure that when you are in litigation, you're being protected.
You know, it's a funny thing you say. It makes me laugh. If your hourly lawyer can call you back quickly, they're billing you too much because they have time to do it. You want the hourly lawyer that takes a day or so to call you back. You don't want one that waits a week, 'cause that's too long, but a day or two, that means that they're busy with other cases and not just getting all their money from you, right? That, which is a truism, as crazy as that sounds. So how exactly does it work with your concierge clients? They pay a monthly fee or...
Absolutely.
I'm curious. It's a great idea.
It's a monthly fee that you pay. It's a year contract that you enter into.
And, it's annual, okay.
And you get unlimited. And I do it annual because the first 3 months of working with any new business, there's just a massive amount of work that needs to be done. I go in, I look at their customer contract, their employee contracts, their vendor contracts, their lease, get an idea for how they're running their business, how it's operating. And that's just a massive amount of work up front. So I need to extend that over time to help out the client.
And how do they get in touch with you?
Generally through my website, welch.law.
No, I mean like you're – definitely, I mean, of course. We'll go over that later, but I meant
that's
like
at the end.
You're hired. The context, the clients that already hired you, are they calling you on your cell on Saturday? Are they emailing you? How do they reach out to you?
Yeah, all of my clients have my cell phone.
Uh-huh.
So I'm available 24/7 to them. It doesn't mean you always get a response right away, but they can call me anytime. And generally, I wake up a few times overnight and check my emails, check my texts. And I really love what I'm doing, and enjoy it.
That'll help you sleep through the night.
Is it mostly your clients? I mean, you mentioned businesses. Is it mostly businesses, or do you have individuals? What kind of clients?
I have a few high net worth individuals that I work for as a concierge lawyer, but it's primarily small businesses, small to mid-sized businesses.
So are you like an outside general counsel to some degree?
Yeah, that's a fair way of putting it.
That's a good question.
Yeah, like I call them outhouse in-house. No, I mean, because it's a great idea if there's a few people out here. Like the retainer. No, I don't mean to cut you off, buddy, but I want to finish the thought. This is like the old retainer attorneys where you put your attorney on retainer. It covers most things. And then if something blows up or gets big, then you either go to a different attorney that they quarterback for you. So is this very similar to that, or is there differences to
it? Is very similar. You know, I included in the plan is unlimited phone calls.
Okay.
So they're able to call me anytime. Unlimited contract reviews.
Oh, okay.
So before they sign any contract, I ask them to give me a call. If they're going to buy a new car, I ask them to give me a call. I'm happy to look at every contract that they're involved in and really be proactive about protecting them.
And what do you find that these business clients in particular are using you the most for?
Primarily for drafting their customer contracts and for hiring and firing.
So okay.
They're looking to bring someone on, so they need an employment agreement, or they're looking to fire someone and they just don't want to get themselves, you know, into the deep waters and into trouble.
But you were a successful litigator, making some very good money, and litigation's expensive. But you've taken a pay cut to do this.
Yeah, I really have.
Yeah.
I really have. But I was helping my wife open her business. She's an orthodontist. And on the side, I was just kind of keeping track of the amount of time I was spending, getting her set up, reviewing her lease, everything else. Would have cost her close to $45,000 to $50,000 in
fees much?
Just to get her business set up.
Wow.
And I said, this just it's cost prohibitive for someone to open a business in this marketplace. And with all of the regulation facing a small business, this isn't doable. So that's really where, you know, I wanted to get involved, and I wanted to change the dynamic a little bit and really help small businesses get off the ground and get running.
Well, I'm sure LegalZoom's good for some things, but
no.
I understand
no,
it causes more problems.
No, it's not, Phil. It's not. Don't even
fact, you could even do your real estate closing.
You can't, actually. LegalZoom does so much more harm than good, to the point where they're actually trying to become a lawyer referral service and a national law firm. You know, the reality is if you need legal services – the only time LegalZoom does anyone any good is when they don't actually need a lawyer and they just want to feel better. They have a form. And,
right.
They didn't need anyone to begin with. If you need a lawyer and you're going to LegalZoom, you're making a mistake. I mean, your wife's lease. I mean, my lease, when I just moved recently, I hired a lawyer. I'm a real estate lawyer. I hired a different real estate lawyer to represent me in my lease and paid good money to do it because it's a valuable thing. The problem is, and this leads to my next question, is do you finding a lot of resistance getting, especially small businesses, to see the value in paying an attorney?
That's probably my biggest challenge, is getting them to understand why they're making this investment up front and what is it really saving them. And that's been a little bit of the challenge. But as soon as I sit down with them, I spend an initial consult anywhere from 2 to 3 hours with my clients when I start working for them to get a feel for what they're doing, what their need is mm-hmm. going to be, and really go through and show them what I can do for them, what it would cost them if they were paying a la carte or paying hourly for these services, and that they really get the picture very quickly. And
that's
the light bulb goes off.
Are you able to do this though in the model that you have, so that you can stay afloat and it's still far less expensive for your clients than if they had an hourly attorney or some other firm doing it?
Yeah, absolutely. For right now, I am anyway. I started this about 7 months ago. I opened my firm after being with big law firms 15 years.
Right.
So far so good. I probably cannot handle more than 50 clients, just because of the time that I need to have available to service my clients and to do the job that I want to do for them. So I'm at 35 now and having no problem handling that workload.
You have to keep your overhead reasonable.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be the key to that.
For small businesses, they don't understand that they could be sued for wage and hour issues if they have employees. Florida, one-third of all wage and hour lawsuits come out of Florida. And if you could save them that, I mean, that could put a business out of business.
It really can. There's so many pitfalls for small businesses.
It's incredible in this environment. Incredible.
There is.
I really encourage them to be proactive, to get the contracts to me so that I can review them for them and they can have a set of legal eyes on them before they sign them and get themselves into bigger trouble end up in litigation at paying attorney hourly rates and very quickly realizing that the error of their ways.
Yeah, very quick. You know, it amazes me, Phil. One of the things that people never want to pay for, and I don't know if you've experienced this, is when they're buying or selling a business. It's like, can you look at this for like 10 minutes? Like, you're selling your business. This is, and you don't want an attorney? Amazing. I don't know if you've run into that.
I have. It's scary.
How do you handle the – do you get calls from clients where it's something that's just outside your expertise and it's not something you can do? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good question.
When I get those calls from them, you know, my retainer agreement with them is very upfront, what I handle, what I don't handle. I don't handle any type of tax issues, any estate planning, government investigations. But when those issues do arise, I make sure to get them to an attorney that is reputable, that I know is a professional in what they're doing in that area of law. And save them the error of going and maybe hiring a real estate lawyer to handle their tax matter or to hire someone.
Hey.
So I have a good network of attorneys that I've worked, you know, over 15 years that I've met and I know do good work, and I make sure that they get to the right attorney.
Have you set up anything with these attorneys that you may refer clients to? Can you get them, I don't know, a lower fee? I mean, is there any way for your clients to get them benefits with other attorneys?
I mean, what I do for them, that their relationship with that attorney is completely independent, okay. And I like to keep it that way. That's how I'm able to represent my clients the best, is to have that independent relationship and be able to supervise the billing, go over the billing, make sure that they're being billed fairly, and that's the primary.
Oh, so you actually benefit. Review the billing and give them advice on that as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
Absolutely, and sit in. If there is litigation, I'm happy to monitor the case for them. I just don't want to be handling the litigation.
Yeah, that's
basis.
Great. That's just, so, you, I mean, you truly are being that outside general counsel.
Well, he's known for pro bono work. He also sits on
that?
The board of college
education
at the Florida Atlantic University, where my wife actually is a vice president. And you're on the executive board for the Alliance for Kids. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. That's just a great charity that I got involved with after doing Leadership West Palm Beach through the Chamber of Commerce. I really want to be involved in my community and came across this charity that provides long-term services for children in hospitals.
Yeah.
So we go in, we have a program where they put a box over the IV bags, and they put a superhero patch on it. We tell the kids, you know, every superhero has to go through some hard times before they reveal their powers. So you're going to have your chemo now, and you're going to be able to have these powers when you're done. So it's just a fantastic program that I really enjoy being involved with.
How do you get the word out? Is it strictly by referral? You push the business cards? How do people find you? I mean, seriously.
Fortunately, I've been very fortunate with referrals from my existing clients. So I had a number of clients come over with me from the big firm, and then the word spread. And fortunately, I've been very lucky to have great word-of-mouth advertising.
Well, when someone calls you that's interested in this service, what do they need to have in order for you to consider taking them on?
Tell me. No, I'm happy to sit with anyone that's a small business owner and have them come in and look at what they're doing and whether or not it makes sense on a case-by-case basis. There's no cookie cutter. You must have a certain amount of gross income or you must have these forms set up. You could be a complete startup and just be planning your business out, and I'm happy to speak with you.
I've had several businesses, but I was blessed because my brother's an attorney. And the rules are you can't charge me. And he didn't. But if he did, it probably...
Get what you pay for, Phil.
Well, he's a great attorney. But in all matters, people don't have relatives like that who are accessible to help them with decisions, even to put together an employment contract. You certainly don't want to go online and copy and paste.
Absolutely not. That's part of the... Part of the problem I was running into as a litigator, saying, why didn't you hire a lawyer to look at this or to develop this document for you ahead of time? Could have saved you a lot of problems.
Money. You know, we're going to take a quick break here. Station identification. You're listening to Legal News in Review on 96.9, 103.9, 740.
Well, you just
along
did the
with iHeart, TuneIn, iRadio Now app listeners. Did your mother ever teach you not to interrupt
no,
somebody when
no,
you're
she
talking?
Didn't.
I'm telling you.
She probably should have.
And when we're coming back, we're reviewing concierge law. And it's actually, it's under the radar. Started in California. Started actually by doctors being concierge doctors, which is a whole nother
story. I love
story.
That. I have a concierge doctor.
Really?
I think it's a fantastic model. Seriously.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk about such things, and we're going to be right back.
Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310. Or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review. Recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
Hi, I'm Philip Bell.
You wish. Having an attorney represent your small business absolutely is becoming cost prohibitive. So today, we're going to be exploring the practice of concierge law, and we're featuring from Welch Law, Edward Welch. As a matter of fact, I Googled your name, Edward Welch, and you came right up.
Fantastic.
Yeah, no, that's money in the bank.
How many times I got to tell you not to Google the guests?
Not in public, anyway. You know, as a businessman myself, I always am thinking of the bottom line. But, you know, being, what's the term, being penny wise and dollar stupid, I guess, as well.
Penny and, loafer, what?
And, you know, we only want to succeed in business, and that's what you're there to do, is to help them. And, again, I want to be clear that the majority of your practice in concierge law is for business, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you do have some high net worth clients, but that's a whole other area within your practice as well. How did you actually come across concierge law?
As I was saying, it really was through helping my wife set up her business, mm-hmm. and seeing the trouble that she was having and the cost that it would have been associated with setting up that business. That's where I developed the idea and then started to take a look. And there are some firms in California doing similar type of services. And
yeah, all the things I was able to find online came from California. Now, Gary Singer just informed us he has a concierge doctor. And I didn't know psychiatrists work that way.
They do. It's pretty much how they always work.
Yeah. No, but seriously.
I mean, he doesn't do a very good job.
You do work.
My cardiologist, which is really more of my general doctor because he's so good. He's gotten so busy. There's three doctors now at the practice. They don't take insurance. And because of that, I read somewhere that more than half of what doctors have to bill is just to pay for the billing. Seriously, it's amazing. And it's the same thing with lawyers. I mean, obviously we don't have, well, there is legal insurance, but most attorneys don't deal with it. But the overhead of opening a file, keeping track of your time, all that nonsense takes up, you know, real staff members. So you're able to, I'm asking you, you're able to be more effective and efficient by not having to deal with that nonsense, right?
Absolutely, and I have a closer personal relationship with my clients because of that, because I'm speaking to them on a daily, weekly basis, really getting intimate with their business operations, with how they're operating, and it gives me a better understanding of what they need to be doing or what they should be doing.
Well, how do you set boundaries? Because some people just like to chit-chat.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So far, I haven't had that problem, but I would deal with it on a case-by-case basis.
I'm curious about something. You said that you got into this in part by helping your wife start her business, and you said that she had some trouble and then there was cost. What trouble does someone starting a small business face that is unrelated to costs?
Yeah, yeah. She set up her business, Gardens Orthodontics. Had everything up and running, ready to go from a.
You can plug her if you want.
In Legacy Place up in Palm Beach Gardens. And she registered the name, did everything properly. About 3 months later, someone else came along and put up a sign, Gardens Orthodontics. So we had to go and send the proper letter to preserve her trademark and go through that dispute. So. And that orthodontist apparently didn't hire a lawyer or didn't have a lawyer look at his business formation.
When I started companies here in Florida, you know, you go to sunbiz.org, you get the company. And there were two companies that I had to change the names. I said, well, you know, the state approved me. And they said, that's too bad. You're using our name. Cease and desist.
Yep, that's exactly it. Yeah. And you can imagine that orthodontist, by not hiring a lawyer, didn't, how much money he spent putting the sign up, doing other things, opening his business. So just one of those problems that could have been avoided if he had talked to a lawyer ahead of time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. To be proactive as a businessman saves you money. That's the bottom line.
Do you have resources like, you know, Westlaw Practical Law maybe that you used? I mean, it's a lot of areas of law to cover.
It is. I have a great network of friends and colleagues that I work with, and that they're always happy to take my phone call and bounce ideas off of them. And
I'm curious, what within your clients, since you've been practicing this, what have you found or helped prevent and save them some good money?
Setting up their corporate structure in the first place, how they're setting up their structure, getting them in touch with a good
account. Like an LLC or subchapter S.
Exactly. And making sure that
I'm sure with the different partners, buy sales and all that nonsense. That's
setting up
crucial.
The partnership agreements.
Yeah. Well, that's expensive though. I mean, if I didn't have a concierge lawyer, that could be tens of thousands.
It really can be.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've gotten that down pat and a good set of forms to work with and that I can specially tailor for everyone's individual needs.
Now, you work throughout the state of Florida, but you're not licensed in any other states?
I'm licensed in Georgia and the District of Columbia.
So those that may be listening, they could actually contact you and engage you in service?
Yes. Yes. I'm in the process of opening a secondary office in Atlanta.
Wow.
So expanding a little bit.
That is a beautiful thing. It's good to hear as well. You know, concierge law, I think, is coming of age. It's under the radar right now. There's only a handful of attorneys in Florida. I only know actually one other that was practicing concierge law as well. So you have to do your due diligence if you're going to look to hire them. And what should somebody look for in an attorney that's practicing concierge law? What should they know who they're getting, you know, who they're hiring?
I would look for what type of experience they've had. I was very fortunate to spend 15 years working at big law firms and some of the finest law firms in the state. And that level of experience is unparalleled and something that I would look for is a good track record of working for good firms and doing good work, being involved in the community, and just truly caring about small businesses.
Well, as a former litigator, especially with the large firms, you probably have had hundreds of court cases.
Yes.
Trials.
Yes. I've no jury trials. I've always sent those out, but a ton of bench trials and been very active. So,
well, it is coming of age, concierge law, and I think it's something that people should look into. And when it comes to this type of practice of law, is this actually something that the bar endorses or is aware of?
The bar is definitely aware of it. There's been no guidelines issued yet on it as whether or not it's an advanced fee. Mm-hmm. But because I am offering unlimited phone calls, unlimited contract reviews, you're certainly paying for my time. And I need to be able to reserve that time. So I'm fairly confident that should the bar issue an opinion that they'd be in favor of this type of rate.
Yeah, I would imagine they'd probably be very in favor. I mean, people love, you know, the whole idea of flat fees. That's such a hot topic. Kelly, you guys do contingency fees for the most part, right? So it's a whole different ball of wax. But, I mean, I know in the bar publications, everyone's always pushing flat fee, flat fee, flat fee. And concierge law is an advanced form of a retainer arrangement. So I got to imagine this would be, you know, I'm sure the bar would actually not worry about it, but would prefer it.
Yeah, and I think it really is helping change the perspective of lawyers because by taking the hourly fee arrangement out of the equation, people are viewing their lawyer differently. They're viewing them as a friend and ally and someone that they don't need to worry about the clock running with. So I really do think it's improving the perception that lawyers are just money hungry, stalling cases, trying to bill more hours. So I think there's a lot of benefits to it.
Phil brought up a good point though, which is the
what?
It could be shocking, but I think he brought up a great point.
Yeah, there you go.
The fact is,
he's catching on.
The bar rules address and protect the clients out there, and traditionally it's been hourly and contingency. And so it will be interesting because presumably at some point the bar is going to have to address this up-and-coming model, which really isn't covered by the rules. And in our business, there are rules that address how we can charge.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think there's always room for a disruptor, the Ubers of the world, and I think it's something that if it's benefiting the ultimate consumer, you're doing good work, that it's something that will be viewed favorably.
Yeah, I love the idea. I think the key, and I think you nailed it with this, because obviously you're doing well with it, is finding the right client. You know, you, there's certain clients you can't do this with, people who don't understand. I mean, I think you would have to find a client or educate a client in what an attorney does and, more importantly, what an attorney can't do. You know, when you start getting calls like, oh, you know, what do I do about my window? You're like, call your window guy, you know, or asking you tax questions or whatnot. But also people, you know, I find, especially with small business clients, they don't know what an attorney can do, so they don't even necessarily know the right questions to ask. So by having this relationship, you know, you can actually, I think, really help them out
a
lot.
You know, it always goes by too fast. I never endlessly say that because it's so true. And one thing that Eddie had me at hello, because you answered your own phone and you said, this is Eddie.
Absolutely. You know? I always answer my own phone calls.
Why would you say it's Jimmy?
No. I mean, you know.
How do we get a hold of Eddie? If I wanted to call you, how would I get you?
The best way is through my website, Welchlaw, WELCH.law.
And you got a phone number?
Phone number is 305-202-0645.
And you said you do the whole state of Florida.
Yes, and entering into Georgia soon.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I think
keep
that's
an eye
great.
On
you know, I really appreciate you coming on and educating us about this. I want to thank my co-host again. Thank you very much for being here.
Michael Hirsch.
Yeah, gotcha.
I could tell. I didn't want to help there, Gary. I wanted to see what happened.
Yeah, well, I wanted to give it the website for Kelly, who's still our host.
Justiceforall.com.
And the phone number?
954-522-6601.
All right.
And can they get you, Michael Hirsch?
Without a business card.
They could get me.
They could get you if they call and ask.
I mean,
everyone should call and ask just to prove a point. Most importantly, I want to thank our listeners. I want to thank our listeners. Remember, be safe and
be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to BeLegalBuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.